The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." This morning here on A New Ministries, Christ-Centered Recovery, we'll tell you how to begin the process of recovery from any of life's hurts, hang-ups, or addictions. Remember, God has plans to give you hope and a future. Let's join in now to hear those whose purpose and mission is to inspire you to renew, rebuild, and restore your life through the road of Christ-Centered Recovery.
Welcome back to all our faithful listeners here this morning on A New Ministries, Christ-Centered Recovery. I'm your host, John Broderick. Well, this morning we are delighted to have as our guests Senior Pastor Bill Hodgman of Crossroads Community Church in Framingham, along with Associate Pastor Vinny Capetta, Ministry Leader of Celebrate Recovery, a Christ-centered 12-step recovery program. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks, John.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, great to see you guys here this morning. Pastor Bill, tell our listeners a little bit about the history behind Crossroads Community Church and some of the programs you currently have going on, such as Crossroads Kids and others. And I love that Crossroads Kids. Loved your website.
Well, thanks, John. Thanks again for having us.
My pleasure.
You know, our church, which began about 54 years ago, has always been about Jesus.
Amen.
And his kingdom and what it means to be his faithful followers in our community where he's placed us. We made a strategic decision a little over a decade ago to purchase a building that would give us a lot of classroom space, enable us to really make an investment in children and in families. So one of the ministries that we're investing heavily in right now is a ministry to our kids and to our families.
That's wonderful.
How do we help to nurture a lifelong, passionate, joy-filled faith in Jesus through his church? I think that's every Christian parent's dream, is my kids will live out their faith over the long haul, right? We began a new ministry this year called Restoration Ministries. God wants us to build a great church, but he also wants us to build a great town for all people. And so our Restoration Ministries are all about serving and partnering with our community to really serve the common good. And so we've developed relationships with domestic violence programs, with housing programs for homeless families, just coming alongside of them and developing relationships with them. And then finally, you know, a huge emphasis for us is support and counseling ministries. How does God, by his grace, not only forgive us, but actually make us new creations? We're enormously blessed to have Vinny Capetta on staff because he just brings a lot of acumen and experience to bear on those ministries.
And Vinny, if you would, tell us about what your role is at Crossroads Community Church.
Well, from the beginning, I've had three big areas. One is welcoming newcomers into the church, which I've always loved. Also, small group ministries where we have Bible studies and book studies and discipleship groups. And then what has becoming a bigger part of my role at the church is the pastoral care and support ministries. I happen to be a licensed mental health counselor as well. It's something I was in the ministry for a while and realized I wanted to have more education in that. So I went ahead and got licensed here in the state of Massachusetts. So some of the things that we're doing at our church are divorce care, Celebrate Recovery, which we'll talk a little bit about today. And then also we piloted Grief Share to find out more about how that support ministry works so we can come alongside those who are grieving.
You know, it's ironic that you mentioned that because I had Sam Hodges via telephone who wrote the book, which they use a Grief Share, Grieving with Hope by Sam Hodges and Kathy Leonard. When the Boston bombings had happened, you know, I felt so compelled to reach out to him. And it's a wonderful ministry. So congratulations to you guys for that. Pastor Bill, please give us some insight on what the Bible says about healing and restoration.
Great question. I have a Bible that I read to my young children, and on the opening pages it says that the Bible is not a book of rules. It's not a book of heroes. It's not a book of stories. The Bible is one story, and it's the story of a father coming to rescue and redeem his children. It's the story of a prince leaving his castle in heaven to rescue the one that he loves.
Amen.
And so the Bible, you can think of the story of Scripture as being a four-act play. And act one is creation, where God creates this perfect world, where all the pieces fit together in perfect harmony, and God and man dwell together.
I love the book of Genesis.
Right. And then Act 2 is the fall. Human beings fall from grace, fall from fellowship with God, rebellion against God, and seeking to be their own masters and to be their own God. And, of course, what results from that is total alienation. We're alienated from God, from each other, from creation, even from ourselves. But God doesn't give up on his creation. God seeks to redeem it. He wants to take it all back. He wants to mend it and heal it. So what does he do? He wraps skin around himself and sends his son Jesus into the world to be one of us, to live the life we should have lived, to die the death we should have died so that we can be reconciled to him. And that's the beginning of God's work of redemption. And of course, Act 4 is the restoration of all things. And we see this picture in Revelation 21 of heaven coming down and filling the earth. And God says, behold, I will make all things new.
Amen.
And so we know how the story ends. And we know just by looking at the story that God's heart is to mend and heal and restore his creation and his children who are broken and to make us new. So we can take that to the bank. We can be sure of that, that that's who God is. And we can also know because of Jesus that that process of restoration has already begun. So the power of heaven is already broken into time and space. It's already broken into our world, and it's operational right now as we respond to him in faith.
Amen. And you know, we're going to speak about a little bit about restoration and healing through a process. And Vinny, tell everyone that is listening right now about the wonderful ministry of Celebrate Recovery and how you became involved with it.
What we just heard about that arc of scripture is a great background to talk about this. But you know, the last 4 years, I've seen quite a diverse amount of things happen in our Celebrate Recovery ministry, which is all about hurts, hangups, and habits.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, one guy who was with us for about a year before he even figured out why God led him to be with us. Like, he didn't come to realize what his issues were until a year of being with us. Contrast that with somebody who saw a sign, who saw our church sign and came to our Celebrate Recovery meetings knowing that he was broken and he was depressed, and he found Jesus through that process of coming to church and Celebrate Recovery. He got baptized, and now he's leading the charge.
Amen.
In one of our next men's discipleship intensive step studies that we have in Celebrate Recovery. Also, we have a friend that was part of one of the groups that I was doing this year, and he had a DUI in the middle of us having this group. He got picked up by the police for drunk driving, and he had a built-in accountability structure through the group that we had. We walked with him from the police station to where he is today, ready to share his hope and strength with others. And had it not been for our Celebrate Recovery ministry, he would not have had that relational structure to help him through these past months.
Praise God.
Others have come and shared their stories with us at Celebrate Recovery of horrific abuse. And you sit there and listen to their testimonies, and you wonder how Christ could bring healing into their lives, but he's doing it, and he has done it, and it's amazing to see that. The way that I became involved, I had an anxiety and depression group at the church. We're meeting once a month. Mm-hmm. I had a co-leader. He was kind of really leading the meeting. He was just really good off the cuff, and so I was kind of working with him on this, and he had to leave the area. And when he did, I was with these people, and I had no idea what to do with them next. And I had been given this book called Life's Healing Choices, and it was on my shelf for a long time. And I picked it up one day, and I said, I wonder if this would help us with our anxiety and depression people.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in there, and I showed it to them, and they said, sure, we'll do that for 8 weeks. We'll meet every week for 8 weeks. We'll talk about this. And we did. And Life's Healing Choices is really all about Celebrate Recovery, and the Celebrate Recovery principles just use this non-recovery language to help us understand the principles, written a little bit differently. But the people loved the Christian 12-step model that's presented there and loved the Celebrate Recovery principles that were in that book. So we just continued on with more of the Celebrate Recovery material, the four participants guides that Celebrate Recovery has. And I thought I was there to lead the people, because that's originally why I was there, to help with this anxiety and depression group, because I didn't, you know, struggle with anxiety and depression. And I found that I was actually there to heal myself and to work through the principles myself. And recently somebody called it celebrity recovery. They got a little confused, and I had to remind them there are no celebrities here. There are no celebrities. This is Celebrate Recovery, and we're celebrating the work of God in us as we follow his principles that are found in Matthew chapter 5. We traditionally call them the Beatitudes. Mm-hmm. So Celebrate Recovery is an umbrella ministry. We talk about hurts. We talk about hang-ups, which can include anxiety, depression, anger, any of those kinds of things. We also talk about habits, whether it's alcohol or drugs, or for me, it was relationships that had become an addiction for me as a young adult and as a teenager. So you know, I'd say probably less than one-third of the people in our group struggle with alcohol and drugs. But regardless of why we're there, all of us are finding healing one day at a time with Jesus.
And that's wonderful, because a lot of people out there that have gone to typical secular 12-step programs, it's about the program. And so they worship the program. And I know that the clear difference here is people that come to Celebrate Recovery, we're unapologetic that Jesus Christ is our higher power. It's a Christian ministry, Christ-centered recovery program. And when they come and they see the non-condemnation, the non-judgment, the loving people that accept you for where you are at in your walk and can begin to help guide you, it's just a wonderful, wonderful ministry. And we want all listeners to know that if you haven't tried a Celebrate Recovery, we want you to get plugged in. And all you have to do is go www.celebraterecovery.com, find a group, and plug in to one of the groups that you find. Now, Pastor Bill, in what ways has Celebrate Recovery impacted your church, your community, and you as a pastor?
One of our mantras at Crossroads is that we want our church to look more and more like the crowd that followed Jesus.
Amen.
For us, that means not all white, upper middle class, clean-shaven, respectable types. Not that we don't need Jesus, too. We absolutely do. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that Celebrate Recovery has really done is it's brought us into relationship with people who are hurting, people who do not have it all together, people who are desperate for help. And they're getting it, and their lives are becoming an illustration of Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And we're seeing that kingdom animate and revive these broken people. And so I think one of the things that's happened to our church through this is that this infusion of outwardly broken people has really given us permission to expose our hidden brokenness, because we're all broken.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so I think as a result of Celebrate Recovery, our church body is more transparent, more real, more humble, and simultaneously we're becoming more gracious and accepting of other people. You know, we've had an amazing thing happen in our men's ministry over the last year. Every time we gather, someone shares their testimony. It's not a sanitized testimony. Men are confessing sin to one another. Men are asking men to keep them accountable.
That's wonderful.
There's been a movement growing in our women's ministry of women saying, I need someone to disciple me. I need someone to mentor me. I have all these weaknesses. I need to grow. I can't do it by myself. I think that having a Celebrate Recovery ministry is one of the ingredients that God has used to really create that transformation in our congregation.
And you know, Pastor, I know for myself, I've been around churches for many, many years and part of a number of different churches. And one of the things that has always been apparent to me is the church has not been transparent, from my opinion. And I think Rick Warren says it well, and I forget the exact quote, but he says something like this, that even, and he has a mega church out in California,
right,
even though my church is 3 miles wide and 10 miles deep, it's only an inch thick. And he speaks what we just talked about, the transparency. And when the church can get to that point and people, you know, rather just come in on a Sunday and throw your hands up for worship, which we should do, and praise God, and become transparent and start to deal with their life's issues, there's so much in store that God has waiting for them once that is dealt with. And Celebrate Recovery is a great vehicle for that. Now, Vinny, what can someone expect when they take that first step through the doors of Crossroads Community Church and attend their first Celebrate Recovery meeting? And give us a little bit about the structure of CR, if you would, as well.
Sure. They should expect a warm greeting. We love to have newcomers. And over the last three or four months, we've had many, many newcomers coming through our doors to check out Celebrate Recovery. Mm-hmm. We have worship music at the beginning of our meeting to kind of push the pause button on life, to remind ourselves that we are part of God's kingdom and that it's not about us.
Amen.
So we kind of like to start there. We usually take some time to read through the Christian 12 steps, similar to what you would hear in the Anonymous tradition, but we use scripture to incorporate scripture into that as well. Every other week or so, we will read the 8 principles of Celebrate Recovery to remind ourselves why we're there. And those are birthed out of Matthew chapter 5 and the Beatitudes. And then there are lessons that we teach at Celebrate Recovery. There's 25 of them. We do one every other week, mm-hmm. so it takes us about a year to make our way through the entire curriculum. We start with denial and dealing with the things that we'd rather not deal with and
That's
figuring
key.
out what our issues are. And then toward the end, we are saying yes to God to bring Amen. The good news to others, to share with others this growth that we've had over time. When we're not teaching a lesson, which is every other week, we have someone share their testimony of recovery and what God's been doing in their lives. And a new thing for us is Newcomers 101. So mm-hmm. we have an orientation for newcomers on their first time to Celebrate Recovery so that we're able to explain to them what Celebrate Recovery is about and the history and a little bit of our structure. And I'll give you a little bit of our structure now. We spend the first hour in a meeting, just as I've shared with you. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we take a short break and we have open share groups. We currently, at our Celebrate Recovery, have 3 open share groups. We have 1 for men and we have 2 for women. And for the women, there's a general meeting and then there's one for women who are struggling with food issues.
Uh-huh.
So those 3 open shares are open and they last about 45 minutes to an hour. Then we have a cafe environment afterwards where we all come back and just hang out together for about a half an hour or more. We also have a resource table that has quite a bit of information about Celebrate Recovery and the different things that are offered. And then we have step groups. And really the step groups are where we see people growing exponentially. And these happen during the week, usually on a night of the week. They happen for about 2 hours mm-hmm. every week. And people are making a commitment of about 9 months to a year
right.
to work through the 12 steps, one step at a time, together as a group. And those groups are men with men and ladies with ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And then as part of that process, we encourage people to find a sponsor, someone who's already been through the 12 steps or someone who's already been through the 8 principles of Celebrate Recovery. They understand it well, to be a sponsor for you so they can coach you through.
Sure.
And then we also encourage people to have an accountability partner, someone who may be at the same level of recovery that they are, but someone who will also walk with them and hold them accountable to the things that they decide they want to have part of their recovery process.
That's key. King David didn't have that.
Yeah. We have a couple of big things going on with our Celebrate Recovery group and in the coming month. So I wanted to mention them here. On September the 21st, we're going to be showing a movie called Home Run. And this is a movie about a Major League Baseball player whose life is out of control. And he ends up being mandated to go to Celebrate Recovery. And so through this movie, we get a clear picture of what Celebrate Recovery is and what it can do in someone's life. So we're going to be showing that movie September the 21st at 7 p.m. at Crossroads Community Church in Framingham.
That's wonderful.
Also, we're going to be starting our 5th year on September the 30th at 6:30 p.m. I'll be sharing my story, which includes having lost my mother and my stepfather on the same day back in 1983 with a murder-suicide in my family home. I'm going to be sharing my testimony and how my life got out of control after that and how Christ entered it and helped me grow and commit my life to Him. So we'd love to have you come out for that. If you want to find our group, probably the easiest way is to go to www.meetup.com, the word meet and then the word up. meetup.com, and you can search for Recovery or Celebrate Recovery, and you'll find us there in the Celebrate Recovery Framingham group.
That's some great stuff. Thank you for sharing that with us, Vinny.
You're welcome.
Pastor Bill, as senior pastor of Crossroads Community Church in Framingham, what would you say to any pastors or church leaders that may be listening to this broadcast right now that are thinking about the possibility of implementing Celebrate Recovery in their church?
Well, first off, starting a Celebrate Recovery ministry is an incredible commitment for a church to make.
Mm-hmm.
It involves a lot of work. I mean, anytime you start something new, it's going to require a lot of activation energy. So you've got to count the costs. You really should have an active conversation with someone who has launched a Celebrate Recovery ministry mm-hmm. before.
That's important.
You've got to bathe the process in prayer. You've got to get the training. But I think one of the most important things is you've really got to get your senior leadership on board. And I don't just mean supporting you and patting you on the back and praying for you. I mean helping you blow the trumpet for this ministry mm-hmm. and helping to connect it to the broader church ministry. I think one of the reasons why Celebrate Recovery has been so successful at Crossroads is because it's connected to the vision of building a great city, of seeing lives changed, of forming a community. So you've got to build a team. But with all that said, it's a phenomenal ministry. I think one of the things that makes it unique is it really combines recovery with discipleship.
Amen.
There are a lot of great recovery ministries, a lot of great discipleship ministries. What makes CR so unique is it brings those two things together.
And you know, one of the things, I'm a former leader for over 5 years, a Celebrate Recovery ministry leader. I had to step down because God had put me into this role. And we're going to reopen ours in Dorchester. But the one thing that I caution people in Celebrate Recovery, because, and then this is key, we never want to put Celebrate Recovery in front of the church, because so many people, through my experiences, say, oh, I like this more than church. And I always caution them. I said, Celebrate Recovery is a complement to the church. God's word must come first. So we ask people, as you know, Vinny, get plugged into a church. It doesn't matter what Bible believe in church. And so we caution people in that because, you know, Celebrate Recovery is in 42 different countries and just under 20,000 churches throughout the world and very successful. And there's a reason for it, not because of Celebrate Recovery, it's because Christ is in the center of it.
Right.
So we tell people that all the time. So that's the main reason why CR is very successful. Mm-hmm. And I know that you guys do a fabulous job at your church. And every broadcast, we open this radio ministry with a scripture, which is found in Jeremiah 29:11, which says in part, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future." Pastor Bill, explain to all of our listeners that are struggling with life's hurts, habits, or addictions and hang-ups and may not be able to see the light, so to speak, right now because they're wrapped in the darkness of their circumstances. Explain to them what Jeremiah 29:11 is saying.
It's a beloved verse, and it's quoted often. And often it's not quoted in context. Those words were given to God's people while they were in exile.
Mm-hmm.
They had been driven from their home. Their city, their temple had been burnt to the ground. They were in Babylon where they didn't know the language. They didn't know the customs. They didn't have access to the temple. And they're kind of sitting around saying, well, what do we do? And God speaks through the prophet Jeremiah, well, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which God has called you into exile. If it prospers, you too will prosper. So it's in that context that God says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, which says that God's plan isn't always easy. I mean, the Bible's deeply realistic. It's not always trouble-free. It's not always suffering-free. But God is much more interested in your holiness than he is in your happiness. Now, he wants you to prosper. He wants you to grow. He wants you to develop. God wants to bless you. But that may include trials. It may include suffering. We like to tell ourselves that our lives are beautiful and that our troubles and our trials make them ugly.
Right.
The reality is our lives are ugly, uh-huh. and God mm-hmm. uses trials and troubles to make our lives beautiful, to make us more like Jesus. I want a God who is able to change not just my circumstances, but who's able to change me.
Amen. Mm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Vinny and Pastor, thank you so much for joining us here this morning on New Ministries Christ-Centered Recovery.
Thanks for having us.
It's been a pleasure. It's been a blast, actually. Pastor, would you please close us in prayer?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, thank you that you do not abandon us in our sin, in our suffering, in our struggles.
Thank you, Lord.
And because of Jesus, we know that you have not only experienced suffering and temptation, but you've carved a way through it. And just as you went to the ultimate furnace of suffering for us when you hung on the cross, we know that you will be there with us in our own personal furnaces of suffering. So I pray, Father, for our listeners, that you will reveal your grace and your power to them and remind them that you are seeking them and help them to experience new life, restored life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Bill and Vinny. Please join us again here next week on a new ministry's Christ-Centered Recovery, where we are all about renewing, rebuilding, and restoring lives one person at a time. I'm your host, John Broderick. Have a wonderful week, everybody.
We want to truly thank you for joining us here this morning. Please keep this wonderful Christian recovery outreach ministry bathed in your prayers. A New Ministries Christ-Centered Recovery is a listener-supported ministry. Won't you please consider making a donation? As one individual has done and has made it possible for us to even bring this wonderful Christian recovery ministry to you. You can make your donation online at www.anewministries.org, or you can simply write us at A New Ministries, Christ-Centered Recovery, 51 Walnut Street, Dorchester, Massachusetts, 02122. That's A New Ministries, Christ-Centered Recovery, 51 Walnut Street, Dorchester, Mass., 02122. If you want to contact us directly, please feel free to do so. Call 617-825-1378. That's 617-825-1378. Join us again right here next week on A New Ministries Christ-Centered Recovery. And remember, with Christ in the center of your recovery, you can renew, rebuild, and restore.